micro podcasts from Films from the Future. On April the 1st, 2008, a press release was published announcing that the US National Institutes of Health, or NIH, was launching a new initiative to fight the use of brain-enhancing drugs by scientists. Spurred on by a perceived need to prevent pill-induced academic advantages, it claimed that while doping is now accepted as a problem among athletes, it is less widely known that so-called brain doping has been affecting the competitive balance in scientific research as well. The release went on to announce the formation of the new World Anti-Brain Doping Authority, or WABDA. It should have been apparent from its publication date that the press release was an elaborate April Fool's joke. It was the brainchild of Jonathan Eisen of the University of California, Davis, and it played into a growing interest in the use of nootropics and other cognitive enhancers in academia and the ethical questions that this raises. A few days after the press release hit the internet, the journal Nature published the results of its informal survey of 1,400 people on their academic smart drug habits. The survey was an open, global online survey, and so at best provides only a rough indication of what academics were doing at the time. There was no control over who completed it or how honest they were, yet it still provided a fascinating insight into what, up to then, had been the stuff of rumor and conjecture. The survey asked participants whether they had ever used Ritalin, Modafinil, and beta blockers for non-medical purposes. Those that had were then asked a number of additional questions about their usage habits. Around 1 in 5 respondents said that they'd used one or more of these drugs to increase their focus, concentration, or memory. Ritalin was the most frequently used substance, and respondents between 18 and 25 years old were the most prevalent users, with an interesting spike for those between 55 and 65, suggesting a fear of late career performance inadequacy. What was even more interesting to me was that 69% of the respondents said that they'd risk mild side effects to take these drugs themselves, and 80% thought that healthy adults should be free to use them if they wanted. In stark contrast to competitive sports, these respondents were remarkably indifferent to their fellow scientists getting a drug-induced leg up. It seems, at least from this somewhat qualitative sample, that there's an ambivalence around using brain enhancements to succeed academically that we don't see in other areas. This is an attitude I've also come across in talking to colleagues, and it's one that I must confess surprises me. Academia is deeply competitive, as are most professions that depend on mental skills, and yet I find it hard to detect much concern over others getting a competitive advantage through what they imbibe. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned, though. For more, please check out Films from the Future, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and everywhere else good books are sold.